What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 268 of Two Amazon Sellers and a Microphone, brought to you by Celozo. And today, I think this is going to be fantastic. I'm super interested in this. It's what everybody, you hear this question all the time: how do I get a negative review removed? And I've never heard a good answer ever.
You don't, right?
Like, you don't do it.
You don't get to do it anymore.
Suck it up. You got a bad review. Try to get 10 good ones to cancel it out. But we have an answer. And joining us to talk about that, Shane Barker, the founder of Celotech. What's up, Shane? How are you?
What's going on, guys? Man, I'm good, man. I'm doing really good. I'm excited. I've been jumping on this podcast with you guys and going to tell people about this crazy thing of being able to take down negative reviews, being fully compliant with Amazon. So we're not going to go into heavy details right now because I know we're going to jump in. We got to kind of lean into this thing. But I'll tell you, we got some good stuff coming here for everybody.
We're excited, and we're going to have all kinds of questions, I'm sure. I mean, again, this is something we hear all the time, and we've never heard a good answer to this. And I know you don't just get into something like this. It's not like out of the blue, you're like, oh, I want to help people remove negative reviews on Amazon, unless you got some background and this has been a pain point. Why don't you just take a few minutes here and walk us through just sort of what brought you to this point? What's your journey up to this point?
The crazy journey. Yeah. So the one thing I'm really good at is banging my head against the wall and trying things that are virtually impossible and sometimes being successful. So we've been working on this software kind of behind the scenes for about 4 years now. I have my own company, ShaneBarker.com, where I've done digital marketing. I used to teach at UCLA. I created their influencer marketing curriculum. I've always done SEO, content marketing. So I've been heavy in the space. A lot of, you know, international speaking events, all the fun stuff. Had a podcast that we were talking about a little earlier that I really, really enjoyed. I've just been really active in content. And I've always wanted a SaaS product, right? A lot of friends see SaaS products and they're like, you know, in Jamaica hanging out. They're like, oh, I'm only making $250,000 residual this month. And I'm like, oh, awesome. I'm trying to look for another client to, you know, save my business. Not really. But, you know, it's like they seemed, and not that it's easy to do a SaaS company, but it's like, you know, if you get it up to a certain point, it just pumps money, right? So I've always been a little jealous of that. I'm not a coder. I'm not an engineer. I'm not like going to go in and, you know, do any of these things. I took a coding class and I have like ADHD. So it was like, I, you know, started coding for like 4 seconds and then I said, oh, shiny penny. And then I'm checking Facebook. So, right. It just wasn't my deal, right? So I realized what my superpowers are, and it wasn't coding. But what I did realize is that I had people around me that have created software, and really, I just thought, you know, this is going to be a long-term journey for me to try to figure this out. So I didn't jump in saying, "Hey, listen, I want to, you know, start taking down negative reviews for sellers." That wasn't like, you know, I didn't wake up and have an epiphany and, you know, talk to God at night and had a dream, and then all of a sudden I woke up and I was like, "I got to take down negative reviews." It was a little less sexy. The way that I got into it is, I was doing a lot of work for clients, obviously from an SEO perspective. I started seeing Amazon, this is about 4 years ago, I started seeing a lot of these, you know, product reviews, or at least products that were showing up in Amazon in regards to the SERP, right? So the search. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, so let's say there's, you know, whatever it is, let's say it's, you know, just some type of a product and it has 10,000 searches, and I started seeing Amazon up there and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. Like, because I do SEO, and what we would do is, you know, write content and get topical authority about certain subjects. I thought, man, this is interesting because Amazon obviously is an insanely huge site. It's got a great domain ranking, probably of 100 or whatever. And thought, what happens if you optimize your listings, right? And be able to just really start taking on that traffic. Over the last 4 years, obviously realized that Amazon loves outside traffic, right? And anything related to outside traffic, Amazon can't get enough of it. And obviously there's a lot of that is, and we've seen this, you know, once again, on the Google side of things, we see on the Amazon side is that the PPC costs are going up. Right. And so what people are looking at this going, hey, this is going up over here. So I need to kind of find a different way. And so we're looking at driving outside traffic. So I think that's going to be a huge thing here in the next, well, I mean, it is now, but moving forward. So anyways, I was looking at these listings and I was like, wow, maybe what I should do is jump into the Amazon space and start optimizing listings, because it's very similar to optimizing content, you know, like what we do for articles and stuff for our clients. I looked into it, not overly saturated, but enough people out there doing it, you know, and I was kind of looking, you know, I don't, it's hard for me to just stay in first and second gear. Like, if I'm going to go and do something, I'm putting all efforts in and I want to get the crown. Like, I'm not a big second place person. I don't, never have been. And so I was looking at this and said, you know what, do I really want to jump in the SEO thing? Because it's a little bit of a hustle. Like the same thing with Google, you know, you do the SEO thing. you can do these 20 things and you can either end up on the first page. You have to change things. Google's always changing the rules. And so that's fun, but it's also frustrating, you know? And so it's fun to be able to learn that stuff. And I thought about the listing stuff, wanted to do that route, but I thought, you know, this is probably the same thing with Amazon. There's probably some basic rules to be able to get a listing up, but they're going to be constantly tweaking things. And so I started talking with agencies, started, you know, reaching out to big sellers and saying, hey, like, what are your guys' pain points? Like, what are we looking at here with the SaaS model in mind? And if I'm doing optimization of listings, that's not necessarily a SaaS model, right? So that's the only reason why I was kind of deterred from doing that. Started talking with agencies, talking with, you know, the big people in the Amazon space. And one thing I did hear, and it was this thing, and Dustin, you kind of touched on it earlier, is this thing of like, well, we, you know, you could figure out how to take down negative reviews. Like, that would be insanely epic. And then I started hearing this more and more with people, but it was kind of like this, I mean, you can try it, but it's not, you're probably not gonna be able to do it, you know? And so
yeah,
I was like,
good luck.
That sounds like the Pepsi challenge. So I was like, okay, and that's what I'm looking for, right? Like what I didn't realize was, like, you guys can't see this because it is live. I have most of my hair, but trying to figure out the Amazon thing did make me lose probably about 30% of my hair, 40%. I've got, you know, Rogaine and other stuff that we've been using to try to get the hair follicles back. But, you know, you realize after 4 years of Amazon, like anything else, you like Google changes things and there's things that happen. And so, you know, I didn't jump in the Amazon space. You know, I hadn't been a seller I hadn't been a seller or anything. Now my team that has over 30 years of experience, they've been sellers and they've gone through that. But it took me a number of years to find the right people, right consultants to work with. And we've been hammering away at this thing kind of behind the scenes for a while. And so we just recently, explain the software a little bit. So it's AI driven software. So what we did in the past was we had access to hundreds of sellers accounts. And what we started doing is filing cases through those accounts. And what we realized was, you know, out of the first 1,000 cases that we filed, this was through Seller Central, we got the big hot template, hey, thanks for reaching out to us, we love you, but we're not going to respond, right? I'm being a little facetious, but that's pretty much what happens. So and that's why when I tell people, hey, we can take down negative reviews, remove them, people give me a little side eye. They're like, I don't know if you can do that. I'm like, no, like, seriously, let me show you. So, you know, we've gotten a little bit skepticism in the beginning, which is understood because nobody can do it, not from a white hat perspective anyways, right? Where it's 100%, you know, compliant with Amazon. And that's what we've built, and that was our big thing, is like, how do we keep Amazon happy but be able to help them really clean up the platform? That's really what we're doing, is helping take down those reviews. The one thing to talk about is the reviews aren't, if you have a bad review that's a legit review, that's not something we could take down, right? So what I mean by that are remove, because it has to be something that's in violation of Amazon's terms of service. The software is literally based off of that. So if somebody customer review, another thing the software does is we look at the velocity of reviews. So what that means is if typically you get, you know, one star a day, and then you start getting 10 one stars a day for 1 week, then we start looking at the buyer's accounts and seeing if they're a sock puppet account or see if there's something funny going on there. So, or the other thing we look at is if somebody writes the exact same review, like, this product is absolutely terrible with 3 exclamation marks, like, what are the odds that you have 10 reviews that say that exact same thing? Like, the probability of that, so is it's just not probable, right? Now, if it just says great product, maybe, but once you start adding more words to it, when you have 10 words and 4 exclamation marks, that's clearly a virtual assistant or somebody writing that review, buying it and going and doing it. So when we file cases with Amazon, what most sellers do is they go in and they say, hey, Amazon, this is ridiculous. You know, you're screwing up my listings. Why you, they cussed in this review? What are you doing? Please take this down. It's very emotional, because when you get a bad review, it really affects your business. So we understand the emotion of it, but we take the emotion out, and all of the things that we file are all data driven. So what I mean by that is, once again, if I've gotten one star a day and all of a sudden I get 10 one stars a day over the next week, like, what's the probability of that? My sales haven't gone up 10%. Now, if it's Christmas or, you know, there's other seasons where you can obviously your sales go up and you can maybe see more of those types of reviews. And then we go into show the buyer's account, and all of the cases that we file are data driven. And so Amazon can't go in there and go, you know what, I don't think that's true, right? We're going, what's the probability of this? I can tell you what that probability is. It's zero, right? And so what happens is they look at those cases and they go, okay, that makes sense to me, right? Because we, once again, base it off their terms of service, you know, they're looking at this, and what we're really looking to do is clean up the profiles, like saying, hey, listen, this doesn't make sense. The reviews need to be about a product, and this person's complaining about shipping, or this person cussed in a review, or they said, oh my God, I'm tired of this product. I'm going to go back to the original product that I used to buy. And clearly, guess who that is? The people who are paying for the Benigan reviews. So there's that type of stuff. You know, once again, when I was telling you guys earlier about all the cases that we filed, we've once again hitting our heads against the wall. We were filing cases and not getting any responses. And so we took it upon ourselves to spend a lot of money and to go and really figure out what gets Amazon to respond to these when we file cases. And what we did is we started to realize there's certain vernacular, there's certain terms. And once again, being very data driven, taking the emotion out of it has been the differentiator for us. And so now we file cases with heavy data where Amazon looks at that and says, okay, clearly we have to take this review down. Now, every case that we file, do we take every review down? No, we're not at that point. But the beautiful thing is the more that we feed these AI driven models, the more we're getting better data so then we can file better cases. So when we, I'll give you guys an idea of how this works. So in the beginning, we meet up with a potential client. We pull all of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 star reviews, right? So we have all that in a sheet. And what we do is if they say, hey, we want to move forward, we look at the ASINs, all the fun stuff. We actually pull that into the reporting software and it gives us a probability of a review being able to be removed. So first one is just saying, hey, this is how many reviews you have. If you want to move forward, we have hundreds of millions of reviews that we've collected off of Amazon. And so we have a nice database of years of data of reviews that have been up there. And so what we do is when we run that through, we actually are going to send that over to the client in the reporting software. And actually, Chris has seen this live. And we can't show you because we're on a podcast. But what it is you'll actually see, we actually put all the reviews in this sheet. And then you can click down on, you know, specific ASINs or brands. And you can click on 1 star, 2 stars. And it'll tell you how many reviews were moved. And on the sheet, you actually can click on it where it'll be now a 404 page. So there was a review. It says what it used to say, but it was removed. You click on it, it goes to a 404 page. We see one of the cute little dogs of Amazon, which means it's been taken down. And that's how we remove the reviews, all done by Amazon. So there's no magic on our side. There's no, you know, black magic or anything like that. It's Amazon's going in. We're filing a very solid case, data driven, and saying, hey, Amazon, there's an issue here. And what we need from you is to take this review down. So do they take all down the reviews? I said that. No, they don't. What happens is usually we have to do a second follow-up and a third follow-up. Sometimes we escalate it. Sometimes we have different departments we talk to. We're, because of the history of my team and how long we've been working with Amazon, 30 plus years, there's a lot of really interesting angles. And once again, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I'm just the guy that brought all the amazing people together and spent way too much money and probably almost lost my wife because of how much money we spent. But that's okay. She's still around. I want you guys not to worry about that. She's now that she sees some money coming in, not that she's like that because she's in the other room. So I got to be safe. But you get my point. Like, so yeah. It was like this thing that we were going through, this journey that we were going through. And it now we're at that point where it's like, man, we're filing these cases. We work with some of the biggest aggregators. We're obviously going to be going to the Prosper show as well. So we'll be out there. But it's awesome because I've never had a service where once I tell people what we can do and they kind of like, I don't know. And then the fact when we're able to do it, it just blows people away because, you know, it's just not possible, right? I mean, I have things that, and I showed Chris these screenshots of reviews that have been removed. Amazon saying, hey, we removed these reviews for you. So most people haven't even seen one of those. They're like, what is that? I'm like, oh, this is what happens when Amazon takes down the review. They're like, oh, it's like a unicorn. I've heard of those. This is very interesting. So, you know, it's taken us a long time to fine tune, but we're at that point now where it's like we're taking off. You guys are having me on the podcast. So we obviously have made it big, yeah. Right? I mean, I don't want to bring it up, but I was like, yeah. I told my wife which podcast is me. She's like, no way. And I was like, yeah, I swear.
Sure, yeah, she said yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so I was like, I didn't even know it.
There's a lot to unpack there. The terms of service, a lot of sellers may not even know there is like a terms of service for reviews. They kind of just like, oh, I got a negative review, you know, water under the bridge, kind of like deal with it. What's, you don't have to give me the full thing, but what are some of those terms of service things that Amazon says, hey, if this review says this, it violates terms of service, we can remove it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the hard part is it's not only the terms of service that you have to understand and really, you know, because Amazon wants to know that you understand the platform and you understand the rules, right? So what happens when anything that you're filing with Amazon, let's say if you're, give you another example, let's say your account gets taken down. What you need to do is you need to go to Amazon and say, hey, Amazon, I understand that there was an issue here. I apologize. We're going to go ahead and fix it. What I did is I figured out this and moving forward, this is how we're going to make sure this never happens again. So what you're doing is you're detailing this out saying, hey, We get it. We apologize. Whether that's true or not, it doesn't matter. You have to kiss the ring. I mean, that's right. Just what happens, right? So we see that a lot. So it's the same thing when you're filing these cases. You have the terms of service. We are quoting the terms of service in just about every case that we file. The reason why that is we want them to know, hey, this, we're not just filing this emotionally. We're backing this with data. You clearly said that there's no cuss words in reviews. Clearly this person cussed in the review. So let's take that down, right? And so once again, sometimes it takes we have to, send a second and a third follow-up, but the goal being is like, hey, we're just helping you clean up the profiles. And that's the reason why, a lot of people, when you do like FBA refunds and stuff, you're asking Amazon for money and people get real nervous because Amazon's like, let's look into this. And Amazon doesn't want to give you money back for the most part, right? Amazon's a great company, but right, they're going to fight a little bit there. With us, we don't have that fight because what we're doing is saying, hey, we want to clean up your profile. It doesn't cost Amazon anything and they want great reviews. That is the thing. If people don't believe in Amazon's reviews, guess what happens? Walmart wins, right? I mean, that's just right. That's what happens. And so what we do is we file the cases saying, once again, we've helped attorneys in the past create documents and stuff to do these types of things. And so the vernacular that we use is very strong, not threatening by any means, but what we're doing is educating Amazon of like, hey, there's clearly an issue here. You guys have said this. We know that you guys aren't going to have an issue with taking it down. We thank you so much. And then once again, we have a high percentage of time that we're able to take those reviews down.
What are some other ways? You mentioned the 10 all at once that have like the same wording. You probably see a lot of black hat stuff on your end where most sellers probably don't see all this. What are some things that happen there?
Oh, it's crazy, man. I mean, there's certain categories that are a lot more aggressive, like supplements. Supplements are, we've seen people go to war in the supplement industry. So our percentage of reviews that we can take down for supplements are a lot higher because unfortunately what happens is, and we've all heard about it, but somebody, you have a competitor comes and buys, 20 packets of your creatine and sends it to somebody's grandma in Australia. And she's like, I don't know why I just received creatine. I'm 87 years old. But then what happens, it shows that it's a verified purchase and now they can write whatever reviews. So what happens is people start to get lazy because they don't go and do variations. And this is all black cast. So variations of what the reviews look like, they get lazy and they just write the exact same reviews. So the more words you have, if it's just a two-word thing, the probability is higher, right? If it's great product, there's more likelihood that people would just write great product, right? Like eBay, I would just write great product, A-plus seller, like all the time. But with this, if you're 3 words, 4 words, 5 words, 6 words, what's the probability of them writing the exact same thing, right? With 3 exclamation marks. It's almost never, like you're never gonna see that. So what we look at is we call it the velocity of reviews, or there's actually a technical term for it, but the amount of words that they use, and if it's the exact same thing, we go to Amazon and say, hey, what's the likelihood here? Another example, as we talked about earlier, is if you get, 10 one-star reviews in a day or whatever that is, we go to Amazon and say, okay, looks like here goes a seller's or a buyer's account. They've purchased 10 products from us. So if they purchase one product and hate it, and give us a 1-star, what's the likelihood they're going to buy a second product? Let's say it's a 30% chance. What's the likelihood they're going to get a third product? About a 2% chance. Hey, what's the likelihood they're going to buy 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10? Because you're like, I'm going to give them one more try. I'm going to go ahead and buy this again because maybe the first 9 were faulty and I'm going to go ahead and test that 10th one for this company. It doesn't happen. You know why? Because we don't do that. If you don't like a product, you're probably not going to buy it again. You're probably not going to go back again. So what happens is a lot of this stuff is black hat stuff that happens that people buy. And I'm not saying it makes sense, but people do it because guess what? If they can push you down, the BSR is great. And for some of these companies, that could equal, it's worth it to spend $1,000 to buy 50 of your products at $20 because they know their BSR is going to go up for the next day or two and they can make 10 grand in a day. So that's the problem, is that there's ways to finagle the system. And Amazon, I think, has done a good job of starting to stop a lot of that. A lot of the black hat stuff is gone that we've seen historically. But once again, we are 100% white hat, 100% compliant. I get everybody that comes to me and they will say, hey, well, how do we know they're going to be taken down permanently? And I'm like, because Amazon's taking them down. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. Like, I'm not doing any magic. I'm just giving them the data and saying, hey, we should really evaluate this, take a look at it. And then Amazon goes and removes the reviews. We've never had an account be in jeopardy. We've never had Amazon put a review back up because they make the final decision. So we're awesome there.
What's the language when you to the case when you see something that's being manipulated, or they've left the price in the review and they cussed you out, or What's the language? I'm sure it's different for each one, but you know, do you keep it short and sweet? Like, here's what happened. What's that look like?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's it's pretty big cases that we file. We don't do real thin cases because the idea of it is that we're backing it with data. If we just said, hey, this is in violation of the terms of service, take it down. Maybe Amazon might take that down. But what happens is we say, hey, Amazon, and we quote the, you know, the terms of service. This is what you guys have. Historically, you guys have also, through with this client, have taken down other negative reviews. You can, this is a 404 page where somebody cussed. We're building out a case to go, hey, everybody else has been taking these reviews down. Here goes another one that kind of slipped through the cracks. Can you guys take it down? And obviously, it's a little more sexy than that. I'm paraphrasing here. But the idea of this is to, once again, we're just educating Amazon, or notifying, not educating because they know what they're doing, but we're notifying Amazon of, hey, there's something funny going on here. And as long as you're backing it with data, which is very difficult to do because it's very difficult to get, you know, the hundreds of millions of reviews that we have in our database. And so we use a lot of that as kind of like setting a precedence. Like, you know, the courts, they have a precedent. Like if you win a court case, an attorney will say, hey, you know, this court case from 1982 was blah, 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 blah. And what that's saying is, hey, this is what this judge thought the law was. And you should think this is the law as well. So we do a lot of that as well. Not court cases and threatening Amazon, but once again, just educating them on, you know, you want to go after the big fish there. They're, you know, we want to make sure Amazon's happy. But we just, we put out, it's just very data driven.
I have a feeling that your business is about to explode because, I mean, I'm looking at, I'm just thinking in the past of just me, the products that I've sold, you know, I've had, my first product was in the fitness area, it was resistance bands, and it became super saturated, super competitive. And this is what people would do. I remember I'd get these, the reviews where they'd put the picture on there, like, oh, these bands ripped like day one. And I'd have like four or five reviews with the same picture. And it was like, and I, before meeting you now in 2023, this was 6 years ago, I didn't know I had a recourse to that, you know?
Well, and nobody knows it. It's, that's the hard part because what, and you said this earlier, which I think is interesting, is everybody just goes, well, I got another negative review. That's the attitude. Cause it's like, well, there's nothing I can do. And so that's what I realized is like, one of the things that I looked at that so I used to, like I told you, on the SEO side and then content side, I used to work with a lot of restaurants. And I remember when a restaurant would get a bad review from either a past client or whatever it is, giving them a terrible review, or hey, the two-ply toilet paper, there's no two-ply toilet paper, it was terrible. And I'm like, all right, well, how was the quesadilla? Because I don't, nobody's going there just to, because of the two-ply toilet paper, right? Like, what are we evaluating here? And so, but I would see that like break restaurant owners' hearts, right? They look at that and it's like, man, everybody sees that because we all do it. We jump on a Yelp and we go, oh, it's only got, you know, two stars. I'm not going there. Must be terrible food. Well, who knows? That could be because they didn't get any positive reviews and one or two people either had a value, you know, had a legit complaint or it was a competitor or something. So I know how reviews affect people and that has always been in my mind because I've always been a huge fan of the small business and looking at Amazon and when I started interviewing everybody, I realized, I was like, man, this is a huge problem. And it's not that Amazon doesn't want to clean up the platform. I mean, there's how many sellers on Amazon? Like 1 million. So I remember seeing some crazy, like 1.5 active million. Yeah. Like, so they have certain things that which is interesting. You'll see that automatically responses get sent to you. It's because of the terminology that you use in those cases. If it's a very thin case, it seems emotional and there's certain terms, Amazon's automatically going to send you a certain email. Right. So what we do, and I'm not saying we don't get those same emails, but what we do is we go ahead and send them a second one and a third one and validate it with data so that Amazon looks at this and says, hey, they clearly have a case. They clearly know what they're talking about. And I think we should take that review down. So that's kind of the differentiator.
Do you know why or if does Amazon make any attempt to police this themselves on their own and they can't handle the magnitude of it or are they just leaving it up to the individual brands to police it and reach out to them?
Yeah, great question. I do believe that Amazon, I mean, they want to keep the reviews are important for them, right? So I do believe that they do have a level of whatever security or things that they look at to be able to look at those reviews. The problem is it's kind of like Google. I was kind of use the same analogy. Like with Google, there's a lot of people that do black cat stuff on Google. And back in the day, you would look at stuff and you're like, how is Google letting them be number one? This is ridiculous. They're clearly cloaking this and adding keywords and keyword stuffing. And So it became frustrating. I think the same thing with Google. Google, you know, it takes a little bit of time for that to, for them to realize that something funny is going on there. Because people, SEO folks will create a website and just do a ton of sales in 3 months and burn the site out knowing they're doing some black hat tactics, right? So we've seen a lot of that. Amazon, I think, is doing the best thing that they can to be able to clean up those reviews. I just think it becomes, if it doesn't fit within certain parameters, sometimes it kind of, it leaks through, right? And they're not perfect, right? And they're constantly building that and they want to do that. I think they do somewhat of a good job, but I can tell you that every seller that I've talked to says, it just doesn't happen. Like I've had maybe a handful of people say, yeah, I've been able to take down one or two. The issue is how you're filing those cases. It's what you're saying to Amazon. And so that's what we realized, because us filing through all those hundreds of sellers accounts, we weren't getting any responses. And I was like, man, I'm really, this is going to be a long hill battle for me here. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to be homeless and without my wife and, you know, all my money is going to be in this thing. I'm like, man. And then we started to get some traction and started to realize that the vernacular and things that we were doing. And once again, having a wider view of building out the software, not just looking at somebody cussing in a review, because that's pretty easy to figure out. It's more the velocity of reviews. When we started making it more robust and looking at a number of different things, that gave us other ways to file cases. And once again, to get Amazon to respond to us.
What's the like average time from case open to case close that you get a review removed from a listing? What's that lead time like?
Yeah, it can be anywhere from probably 2 to 5 days, sometimes a little longer, but they're usually
that's shorter
pretty
than
quick
I thought
respond.
It was. Yeah, that's short.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too bad. We have a, you know, it's so funny. We have like a cancellation policy. We honestly have never had any cancellations yet with our clients. I should probably knock on some wood or something, but I didn't check my emails today, but I think we should be pretty good. But the thing is we have a 2-week period there. If we say, if you need to cancel, let us know, because the 2 weeks, sometimes those can kind of, you know, filter in a little later. Sometimes you have to, you know, escalate them. There's some things that maybe you need to do, but usually it's within that 2 to 5 days. One thing that we do in the beginning is that when we're filing cases, we don't file a ton of cases in the beginning. There's like a probability score that, you know, that Amazon looks up of, you know, once again, are you a credible seller? Are you, once again, not writing in emotional emails? So we start off a little slower, get Amazon used to saying yes. We go after the easier reviews that are a no-brainer to take down or to remove. And then we start filing cases that they're going to be maybe a little bit, you know, 50-50 chance because there was somebody that cussed, but maybe it looks like it's still a legit review, or Amazon, well, a cussing one, they would usually take down. But you get my point. Like if it still looks like it could be legit, we have to fight a little harder for some of those. Those take a little bit longer just because, once again, we're going to have to file a second and a third case. But usually Amazon's does a good job of responding, even though, well, to us. I mean, let me tell you that. Because most everybody else is like, no, I've tried it. It's like peeing in the wind or something. Like it's just not recommended. It's not gonna work, and it's probably not gonna benefit you.
So do you have any data that shows like a 3-star is weighted differently than like a 1-star? And so you want to start at the 1-stars or 2-stars. Like, do you have anything that shows that?
Yeah. So yes and no. So, you know, Amazon's an elusive little beast, right? So we do know that they're weighted. So we do know that a 1-star is not the same as a 5-star, right? So we do know that there's more weight on those types of things. What we don't know is the exact number, but we have seen that usually a 1-star, if we remove a 1-star, it's usually equal to, let's say, 5 to 8 5-stars, something around that area. There's been studies and people have, you know, looked at things and people have said 12, and I've heard people say 6. I think it's right in that range, but they're definitely weighted. So we definitely know that, you know, we always tell any, you know, sellers or aggregators that we work with, obviously keep pumping on the 4 and 5 stars. We're going to go ahead and knock down the 1, 2, and 3 stars. So what Amazon calls critical reviews. And we go after the whole shebang. What I mean by that is we go after the 1, 2, and 3 stars. And then that's when people start seeing kind of that traction with your BSR and things heading in the right direction. But, it's interesting. We don't know the exact number, but we do know it's right in that range.
I've never been able to figure it out. And it drives me crazy when you've got like, you know, it's a new product launch and you've got 10 reviews and it's like 8 5-stars and a one, and then it's like, you got a 4-star and you're like, what's the calculation on this? You know, it's like, that's not straight math. There's something else.
No, there is. And that's, what's funny is we actually created calculators internally to try to figure out like, oh, to go from a 4.2 to a 4.3 with all these variables, right? You have 4 and 5 stars in this, and how competitive is the category? We've created calculators, but they're just not like where they need to be, right? Because Amazon's constantly changing things. So you have to realize it's a moving target. So, you know, and we don't usually sell the software off of, hey, we're going to get you from a 4.2 to a 4.3. That absolutely can happen. Our thing is like, we do know that taking down negative reviews is going to help you with your sales. It's going to help you head in the right direction, especially if you're being attacked, right? Like, that's just not fun, right? Nobody likes being attacked, having 20 one-star reviews and waking up and you're just like, oh my God, because how much does that affect sales, right? Between, we all know that's what's being done there, and Amazon might not recognize that. And so we have to go in and say, hey, what can we do to take that down so we can, you know, get those sales back up where they need to be? Once again, certain categories are more aggressive than others. We have a biking client that's like $500 brakes. Nobody's going to go buy $2,500 brakes and ship them all over the world. I mean, I wish I would take some $500 brakes. Send it to me. I don't need the creatine. I don't work out anymore. But, you know, hey, some brakes. Like, I mean, that would be awesome. So, you know, it's certain categories, once again, are more aggressive than others.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Are you only working on like removing them, or are there cases where like, hey, this this customer left a 3-star. Let's see if we can get that changed to like a 4 or 5-star by replying back to them somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do anything like that. So we don't do any kind of like any offering to the people or reaching out to them. I mean, there's obviously amazing softwares that do that, right? That's where they specialize in offering them a gift card or whatever they do behind the scenes. Ours is strictly based off of Amazon's terms of service and us reaching out to Amazon and Amazon taking the review down or removing the review once they've, you know, read our solid case.
The impact can be huge though of that. And the one question that popped to my mind is there in Amazon's eyes, is there any of like statute of limitations? Like you can only go back like 2 years or 1 year, or can, and if I've been selling for 10 years, you could get a 10-year-old review removed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You can, because the thing is that doesn't mean if Amazon didn't catch it, that still means it could be, you know, as long as it's in violation of their terms of service, we absolutely can go after those. There's nothing stopping us from saying, because what Amazon wants is for people to believe in the reviews, right? And so if they start to lose faith in the reviews and start seeing stuff, that's why they have such strict guidelines, because they want to say, hey, listen, what they really care about, I mean, they care about sellers, but they care about the buyers, right? Those are the people that we have. There's a lot of sellers and there's a lot of buyers, but we got to make sure that those people are taken care of. That's why, you know, when you get somebody that asks for a refund, you got to send them a refund. You got to give money back. There's a lot of things that need to happen in a timely manner so that you keep Amazon going, okay, this is a good seller. They're compliant. They're doing what they need to do, even though sometimes it sucks because you're like, I know this isn't true or this isn't my product in that picture, but I'm going to send you another one apparently. Okay, I'll do that to be compliant. But it's, you know, it's kind of a sticky little thing. But once again, nobody in the industry can take down negative reviews or negative reviews like Ian. I can tell you that confidently because we've spent a lot of money and it's 4 years in the making. So it's not an easy process. Once again, you can kind of tell from my hairline that it was stressful, but we're here.
So you just sit in the background. The tool is just sitting in the background. Whenever a negative review comes in, me as a seller, I'm like, I don't need to worry about it. They got it taken care of. They're figuring it out. They're submitting cases. All that's done on autopilot, or do I have to control everything and be the one that makes those movements?
No, you don't have to control anything. So what we do is we'll say, hey, which ASINs do you want us to you know, to go after? You pick the ASINs. What happens is we start filing some cases. And then every 2 weeks, we actually go back through and pull more reviews that have come through. So some smaller sellers aren't getting a lot of reviews, then that's okay. We're okay with that. As long as you're getting more 4 and 5 stars, that's fine. If you're the larger ones, obviously start getting, you know, during seasons, different seasons and stuff, they start getting a lot more reviews. We put those back in the queue. There's usually a period of, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months where that's where most of the reviews are going to be removed, depending on the account and how big the account is. After that, it's mainly maintenance, right? Because there's a subset of reviews, right? And so we go after those, we knock those down as much as we can. And then it's just more of a maintenance type situation.
Gotcha. This is cool.
It's fun. Now,
the question I have is, okay, so you've built this software that's doing this monitoring of this. Are the cases filed by humans, people on your team? Or is the case filed by the software as well?
Yeah, no, we there's no automation on Amazon. So what we do is when we pull the reviews and we put it through the software, it gives us a probability. All of the cases are filed manually. So we have a team that actually reviews every single one of them and then files the case. So we don't, there's no like, we have kind of templates, but when everything is built out. So it's a starting point. We're saying, hey, this is the angle because this is what they said. But then you have to fill out the data. You have to fill out the other information once again to make sure that you have a solid case. So there's no automation from us at all on that side, the software. So it's a software, but there's a little bit of a manual process there, right? We do have that where you have to physically take a look at it. We train our team to understand what with that review, and then how are you going to file a solid case there. But I will tell you guys that we are working on a SaaS model as well, where it's actually going to be strictly SaaS. So that's still in the queue right now, because apparently I love pain and I like to just put all kinds of money out there and do all kinds of fun stuff. So we're working on that right now. We should come out with that in the next few months. So, but right now we have this, which is very much a software and a service together.
I'm just putting myself in the position of somebody who's been like a supplement seller for 8-9 years. And I'm thinking, when I was starting, I was getting harassed and I had all the negative stuff. I persevered through all that. I'm still here, but I'm thinking of what the almost immediate impact would be if a lot of that. I mean, I can imagine people going from like 4.1 to like 4.7, 4.8.
It's like crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Because the problem is what happens is the supplement industry has been a great example. Is somebody screws you over and then you screw them over and then they screw you over. And it turns into this thing of like, then there's no going back, right? I mean, it's like two gangs. We always explain like the supplement, like it's like gangs. Like it's like the Crips and the Bloods. I shot them. So I got to shoot this guy and then got to shoot this guy. And it's like living in Chicago or something. You know, it's like nothing against Chicago. I like Chicago, but they seem to have a lot of gang violence there. So I think that's where all the supplement guys go to fight as well, from what I've heard. But anyways, it's aggressive, right? I mean, you're in a situation where it's like, and it's the problem is when you get attacked, you're like, okay, now what do I do? And a lot of these guys that I've met as we work with them, they don't really want to do all that, but you get to a situation like if somebody comes and, beats up a family member, you're going to be like, well, now I got to go do something. I don't really want to do that, but it's like, that's my mom. I mean, it's terrible. Hopefully nobody's mom got beat up over supplements, but you get my point. Like it's this thing of now we're down this road and it's like this bad divorce where you're like trying to screw each other over. And it's like, wait, what just happened? Like we were doing good. We were holding hands, going to dinner, we liked each other and now we just hate each other. And it's just weird how that works. And once again, supplements are one of the ones that our ratings that we're able to get, the amount of reviews we're able to get removed is through the roof because of that.
Okay. Everybody who's listening right now, including Chris and myself, want to know how to get started doing this. What tell people where they need to go, what they need to do to get started working with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually going to, I'm going to share a link. Can we share a link on here? This thing's live, right?
Put in that chat and I'll put it in a banner.
All right. So this is what we got. So we've actually worked out a deal with you guys. I don't even know if you guys knew this. We're all about secrecy, right? I told Chris we were going to do it and we didn't bring it up, but I was like, we're going to have surprises. It's Friday. This is what we do. We're just handing out gifts at this point. So what we've done is we've worked out a deal with you guys is we're going to be giving 10% off of anybody that fills out that form and goes through that. And the reason why that being is that obviously we have a relationship with Chris and Dustin. I'm meeting you now. We're going to be like best friends probably at this point, see you at Christmas or something like that. But what we've done is yeah, I mean, why not? Right. I mean, why would we not spend some time together and hang out? I mean, so we did this. What this is 10% off, which I know people are going to go, 10% off. Is that a lot? We charge $250 to remove a review. So you actually be saving $25 on every review that we took down for you or removed for you. So that's a huge savings. We are offering that because you guys, agreed to have me on the podcast for whatever reason. Apparently you didn't have any other guests and you're like, let's just put this Shane guy on. He talks a lot and he's kind of funny, but whatever. I think he has a good product. We'll check it out. But those guys look just like you. Isn't that crazy?
There you go.
Man, you're doppelgangers, huh? Who knew? Who knew?
That's a quick turnaround.
Nice. When did we talk, buddy?
I talked like 2 days ago.
I am all gas, no brakes. That is my motto. I tell people, and it's so funny. I talk to my salespeople and stuff like that. I'm a salesperson by nature, and I tell people like when people come through. This is so easy to like sell because I don't even have to sell it. It's literally just an education thing. So many people need it. It's just a crazy little deal. But yeah, I told you we're going to bring in a special little offer for you guys. So here we are. Yeah. We're making the magic happen.
I appreciate you doing that. And to kind of backstory, I heard about this tool and I was like, I got to get on a call. So I booked a call with Shane and I was like, okay, now this guy needs to come on our podcast. Book that. And then he's like, I'll make a page for you. I'm like, okay, yeah, I've heard that before. And here it is.
I don't commit to things that I can't do. We've got an absolutely amazing team. And yeah, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. it took me a while, but we, you know, got some pictures of guys that once again look just like you guys. So it was easy.
That's awesome. For anybody who's listening, we've got the landing page up here. The way you get to it is Celotech.com/Solozo. And that'll take you right to this page to get the 10% off of their service. So this is fantastic, Shane. I know hopefully everyone's out there filling out that form right now. This is a no-brainer deal. I mean, the amount of,
especially because it doesn't cost you anything until the review is removed. Like, it's like, okay, and I was telling Shane on the call, like, this is kind of like Gatita, but for reviews.
Exactly.
Like, you're going to have something that they only get reimbursed, they only get paid if they get something removed.
And Chris, that's a great point. And I don't know if we fully touched on that. When we file cases, if the review doesn't get removed, we don't get paid. So for us, and another thing is we don't just file 500 cases in a day and see what happens. I mean, we've never had any issues with any accounts being suspended or anything, because once again, it's Amazon loves what we got going on there. We file at a slower rate. And once again, if we get a review removed, then you actually have to pay for it. But up until that point, so there's really no risk. I mean, kind of what you were touching on. Yeah. We don't, you know, it's not for filed cases. It's for actual reviews that were actually removed. And so, and we do billing once a week. And so, you know, there's never any crazy invoices. You know, I mean, you can go and you'll get a reporting software, and then we update that every 72 hours. So you can kind of see how the progress is going. But there's never been a situation where we've taken down, you know, 500 reviews in a week or anything like that. I mean, the goal is we kind of ease into this thing, get Amazon used to saying yes, understand that we're filing good cases, and then we start to accelerate that a little bit. But we're, once again, we want to protect sellers' accounts, and we don't want to file too many cases, and we get Amazon in a position to say, hey, listen, they're filing awesome cases and good things are happening.
Love it.
I love it too. I mean, just when you think there's not another area of Amazon where somebody could come in and find a solution and have support, this is one that's driven people crazy forever. Like we've talked about, you figured out the solution. Everyone should be checking you out, going to that landing page. Again, it's celotech.com/Solozo. Get started with them, get those reviews cleaned up, and then come talk to us at Solozo. Now you got a listing that's going to convert better. You got better review score. You can come to us. We'll help you out with your advertising. It'll perform so much better. It's a win-win for everybody. If you do come over and check us out at Solozo, we have a discount for you as well. Use the code podcast20 and you'll get 20% off your first month of Solozo for full ad automation and optimization. But yeah, get those reviews cleaned up first. That's going to really help your ads out. So
yeah,
Shane, thanks, man. This has been so fun. Thanks for joining us. We learned a ton. I know I did. I know people listening did. So we really appreciate it. We're going to bring you back on again. We'll touch base with you as this keeps growing and seeing what else you're up to down in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun. We've got some other software that we're working on that we can't talk about yet, but we're doing some pretty interesting stuff, focusing on this, the negative review, because nobody else can do it. So we're doing that, but we also got some other interesting stuff that we'll absolutely come back on and do this. I have a question for you guys. How did you guys come up with the title? I'm just curious, two Amazon sellers and a microphone. Was it because of two turntables and a microphone?
I knew it.
When I saw that, I was like, this has got to be it. I was like, this is because it rang in my head. And I was like, this has got to be it. Okay. I just had to confirm that. So we're good. That's solid.
We played around. This is like 2.5 years ago or so when Chris and I decided to do this. And we're like, you know, every one of the podcasts, they've got like AMZ champs or AMZ something. Yeah. And it's like, okay, how do we, and we, I don't know what it was. We kept going back and forth, but then I was like, I don't know where it came from. I just kept playing with it. And I was like,
I love it. Okay, I absolutely love it. I knew that was it. I was like, I have to ask these guys about this. So that's awesome. Great name.
Appreciate it. Well, thanks, Shane. This has been a ton of fun. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will be back at this again next week. Talk to y'all later.
Awesome. Take care, guys.
See ya.